I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am super thrilled to have somebody who loves podcasting as much as I do and did her undergrad at my MBA alma mater, Villanova. Go Wildcats! That's hard for me to say because I'm a Jayhawk from Kansas originally, but I'm converting. So, Isabella Sanchez Castaneda, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, and go Cats. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Yes. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey, because I know you're multilingual. You've been in journalism. You've lived in Italy. You've done so much in your career. So can you please tell us a little bit about that and what the journey's been like for you?
Of course. So yeah, so much of it did start at Villanova, and having that background in journalism, studying journalism there, and went to Italy through Villanova's Vatican program, got to do some amazing work literally right outside of St. Peter's Basilica. It was so cool. And the journalism dream had been with me since like sixth grade. And I really thought that it was everything that I wanted. I thought it was the career for me. And then I graduated in 2020, and we all know what happened. And so with that, I was working in a magazine. I was their digital editor. So I was doing their social media, their website, all of these things that were really exciting, but not anything that I thought I would be doing. And so much of that then, I didn't like the journalism part of it so much, like the actual magazine part.
Well,
and a lot of it was the environment. A lot of it was just, you know, you dream something up for so long and then it happens and you're like, uh-oh, that wasn't what I wanted. And so I'm really fortunate. I'm one of those rare people where my parents actually wanted me to be an entrepreneur.
Oh.
So yeah, which is, anyone I tell that to, they're like, "Wait, my parents were holding me back a little bit." Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, my parents, when I told them, hey, I want to start my own business, they were like, finally, we've been waiting.
Oh my
gosh. They've both been small business owners, self-employed. Mm-hmm. Ever since they got here to the States, because it was out of necessity. But then they grew to love it. They grew to love creating their own thing, being able to make their own money, make their own future, really. So they were always encouraging me to do that. And I was the one who was like, I don't want to. So when I finally did, they were like, it's going to happen. So I started my business in 2021, just about 10 months after graduating. And here we are. I know that's like even just the tiniest bit of the journey, but a lot of pivots since then as well.
Mm-hmm. And where did your parents move from?
Yeah, so we're all from Colombia. We have found ourselves in Philadelphia, in Florida, a lot of moving around as well. But yeah, Cali, Colombia.
Very nice. We'll have to talk about that and some podcast resources I've found that are based in Colombia now. My mom moved here from Thailand, and her mom was an entrepreneur, but she went the opposite way and got the steady job. So it was really funny because I was like, I think I have to have a steady job, but I'm not like you. I'm like, oh, actually, I'm really an entrepreneur. And there is a long history of that. So that's what I need to lean into.
And I totally get like where your mom's coming from, where I wanted the steady job route. I saw my parents do the entrepreneurship route, and that, unfortunately, the feast and famine, the uncertainty aspect of it, the not feeling like you always have community around you, which we're all familiar with in terms of the loneliness of entrepreneurship. So I didn't want it at first. I wanted to run in the complete opposite direction. But I think when it kind of calls to you, you have to listen at some point.
You do. Otherwise, I feel like otherwise all these other things happen in your life that kind of force you to make a decision, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the beautiful thing is that nowadays there are so many more resources for us as entrepreneurs, and there is so much more community, whether it's in person or digital. So I'd love to hear, okay, so you were a digital editor, you are a board member and communications expert for nonprofits, and then let's talk about ESA Media and what that entails.
Yeah, so that's definitely where the most pivots have come from. So right now, we are a digital marketing agency focused on building podcasts for experts. And something that really is unique is we also do the scripting, the preparation of the episode for solo episodes. So much of podcast production agencies, there are so many amazing agencies that really tackle the editing, the show notes, the right. clips, the distribution. And we do that as well. But what we really, really love is how can I take that recent email newsletter you just sent and turn that into an episode? How can I take a random conversation that you thought was a tangent and make it into something really wonderful? And that's where that journalism piece now comes in, is Great. Asking strategic questions. I just had a call with one client where I had to ask her a lot of like what pop culture references she liked so that we could almost plan the tangents in her episode. And it was a lot of early 2000s, like movies, rom-coms, little jokes, and getting to explore someone like that is so much fun. So that's where we've landed. This is really where I'm going forward. But before this, I was doing social media management and reels and workshops on how to go viral, like all of the things that we've all tried.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so excited that we're having this conversation at this moment in time, because I recently left a six-figure job to fully focus on podcasting as my full-time job. And of course, I always have some side projects. I also teach grad school. But I was like, if I don't do this now and take this opportunity and this chance and like all these wonderful things that are appearing and calling to me and asking me to basically trying to give me money to podcast, I would be silly. And I believe, and I think this is probably why you've chosen podcasting as well, that this is the omni-channel marketing tool of the future. It is the thing that you can turn a piece of content into a podcast, or vice versa. You can create every kind of media from an episode. And that's so beautiful. I mean, maybe there's something else like that out there, but I haven't found it.
Absolutely. And even before chopping it up and putting it elsewhere, I think that the power of podcasting, why it's here to stay, is because it is so intimate. It is much more intimate than any other medium because it's in your ears. And usually I know somebody who's listening to us right now is doing their laundry, is in their car, is washing the dishes. Who else is with you in those little moments besides like your husband?
That's a good point.
That intimacy, you feel like they're friends. Like when you love a host, they're your bestie. And so much of that comes from what times you're consuming it. Other social media, your blogs. Blogs are usually, you're looking for information. It's very direct. Social media, you're kind of scrolling to just pass the time, but you're not giving it your full attention. Mm-hmm. So when you're in those quiet moments of folding the laundry, of, you know, the kids just went to bed and you're just waiting for that moment for yourself and you turn on a podcast, it's a different level of connection.
Absolutely. So when you work with your clients, do they mostly have solo podcasts or interview style? Are you also helping them become guests on other podcasts?
So I do believe that more hosts need to go for the solo episodes. Mm. Guest episodes are incredible. They're so much fun. Mm. But when a podcast is specifically tied to a business, there need to be solo episodes so that the host stays in the expert driver's seat. And so many times someone will come to me and say, I've done 200 episodes of guesting where they've brought on guests, but it's making me no money. It's not turning into someone being interested in my service, someone being interested in my course or my digital offer. And they're saying, why? I've been consistent. I did my 200. And I asked them, I said, how many times was it flipped back on you where you were the person they wanted to learn from?
Right.
Most of the time, people want to learn from our guests. And so the solo episodes is the way that we infuse their expertise and really position them as the person that is why you keep coming back to the show.
Yeah. I love that perspective. I know that interview style are still very popular. And maybe it's because people haven't taken as much of a chance on the solo episodes. I actually usually use my solo content on social media now. Because for me, I'm not necessarily trying to drive sales for my business at this moment, right? I'm really networking and meeting people that I might want to work with in the future, creating those connections, learning that something that I can then take back to my students and teach them. Oh, I might not know this thing, but this person just taught me this digital hack, right? So I love the fact that you're exploring this and really turning that question for people who are looking at, how do I make a podcast a marketing tool for my direct business?
Yeah. And what you just shared shows me that you know so well your goal for doing this. Right. And a lot of people find themselves kind of tumbling into podcasting where someone says, oh my goodness, you should really start a podcast. And they go, okay, I will.
Yes.
And a couple months into it, they've lost the feeling of, why am I doing this? And they've already pre-scheduled all those guests. And they've already decided that Wednesday mornings is when they post. And they don't slow down enough to say, wait, why am I doing this again? And so you just shared that you're doing it for those networking, for having the experts ready to go. And so that clarity changes the way that you show up and that it makes it so much more intentional. For the other person who they know that their podcast is to drive sales, they show up in a certain way, but they know why they're showing up in that way. And so it's always going to come back to, maybe you set a quarterly moment where you go, what's the goal for this next quarter with the podcast? And is it the same as last quarter? If not, how do we adjust?
Yeah, that's some great advice. And I'll be very clear. This podcast has been going on for 3.5 years, and I did not have that clarity. It was just for fun and a hobby at the beginning. So I was that person who was like, okay, I've done other podcasts for, I produced them for clients. Oh, I guess I should just do my own. So it took me a while to get here, but I do think it's important to think about, what is your end goal? Don't follow me, right? Follow you. What you're saying is, think about what are the reasons you really want to do this. So when you work with clients, do you have an ideal client? Like, do you mostly work with women entrepreneurs? Do you work with people more local to the Philly market, or people everywhere?
So it is people everywhere. And before I keep going to that one, I just want to say the same thing. For me, it took like 60 episodes for me to realize, why am I doing this besides just kind of enjoying my own voice? Like, right. I don't think that it's a bad thing that so many people start a podcast because they want to hear themselves talk. I know certain people will say, like, that's a terrible thing. And I'm like, explore, try it, go for it. And then you'll build that intention behind it. I probably would have been better off if I had that intention from the beginning. But we can only learn from doing. But for the ideal clients, a lot of the time it's nationwide, even international. And it is that expert, that coach, the consultant, the service provider that has so much to give, so much to say, but they don't have the time. They are so dedicated to their clients. They're so dedicated to their families that a podcast just feels like such a high lift that they know they want it, but you're not going to spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours on it a week quite yet because you don't have that full support.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a system for knowing if somebody's ready to start a podcast or if they need to do a little more work? As I know, like, if I work with a client on the PR side or for marketing strategy, I'll definitely do a brand sentiment analysis, like look through, do you have clarity around your own brand so that we know what messages you really want to share?
Yeah, I'm curious what you usually find. What is that marker for you?
Well, a lot of the clients I work with right now are workforce development and education sectors, adult education specifically, or alternative education. And they're very busy and they may have some clarity, but we really have to do a lot of work to show, here are your psychographics and demographics that map to the programs that you're trying to get more students enrolled in. And here are possible messages that would resonate. So we're really happy to help craft that and then craft campaigns that encompass the full integrated spectrum, right? Digital, landing pages, funnels, and then maybe some PR support, social media support, newsletter support. But when I was just really more focused just on PR, that was an issue. People would say, I'm ready for PR, ready to get my voice heard. Okay, but you have a website, you have your social media handles, but do you have clarity on what message, who your audience is? And so, sometimes they'd be trying to pivot and I'd be like, here's the roadmap to pivot. You're an expert in this. This, you know, directly correlates to what you want to do, but lean into your expertise here first and start seeding those conversations because people are asking you about this. And you can slowly get them to this, but don't try to jump there when you already are seen as an expert here and it maps. So it's every conversation I feel like is different. And it's probably like that for you too.
Yeah, that's so interesting and so helpful that you do that for people, that you give them that opportunity to clarify their message. Because I think that that's the mistake a lot of times I see happen is that people are trying to amplify something that's not working.
Yeah.
People are trying to jump forward and pour kind of gasoline on the wrong fire.
Mm.
And usually when people come to me, they know which fire they're amplifying. But that's why I just think it's so helpful that you get them that clarity and just letting them know, hey, I get this message. Do we want this message? Do we want this other one? So usually, yeah, a lot of times people are coming to me with their message already clear. They know who it is that they're working with and what that proven offer is. And then they're like, okay, I want to take this to the next level with a podcast. I want to build that. Nuance is a word that comes up a lot where they go, okay, I've posted about this on social media 300 times, but there's still so much more I want to say. Like, for example, someone is a copywriter that I work with. And so she wants to talk about sales pages, but there's only so much that you can say about sales pages in a post before people's eyes kind of gloss over. So then she's like, okay, I want to talk about it. I want to share my experience building them. I want to share do's and don'ts, but in a very specific way. And her podcast is what's going to allow her to do that. But there's definitely a level of strong foundation already there.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's fantastic. I'm glad that that is the kind of person who you're attracting, because it also shows that you're ready to take them to that next level. Do you have a favorite client or two that you want to share, a case study? You don't have to use names if it's confidential, but...
I have been so, so fortunate to work with really amazing women. Almost all of the people who I've worked with have been women, women of color specifically, and have just done such great work. I have also found myself in a niche of women entrepreneurs with ADHD, which is a lot of fun. Yes. And so a lot of it is, okay, I know you know what you're talking about, but you're talking about it at 100 miles a minute. So let's slow down. Give me all of that information. Talk to me at 100 miles a minute. I'll clean it up and then we'll talk at 50 miles a minute. And so my one client, Ariana, she is a system specialist. Her podcast is called Stories of Scaling. And she talks about the systems, operations, and tech that agency owners need to scale. And so a lot of it is she came in thinking, okay, I'm going to do one episode about onboarding. And I said, one episode about onboarding, it would be a 5-hour episode.
Yeah.
So instead, it was a lot about, let's bring it down. And it's one episode about the discovery call. One episode about contracts and how to automate your contract. One episode about invoicing and how to automate the invoicing. And we saw how what she saw as one concept, which was onboarding, was actually 30 different pieces that we could turn into content. And a lot of those episodes are currently out. She shares a lot of case studies herself where you can kind of learn from the mistakes of other people. And so I've enjoyed so much being able to work with her and the genius that she has and turn that into episodes that we can all understand. Because the tech stuff can go over my head very quickly.
Same.
So I say if I can get it, I think almost anyone can get it. And so she's been a ton of fun. Another one that just launched, she's on episode 3 or 4 right now, is Danielle. She's a marketing expert. She has a podcast called Marketing That Works. And she shares really fun experiences. So she used to work in concrete. She marketed a book about concrete for 12 years.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And now she markets like really cool coaching businesses and really cool services. So her kind of thing that she always comes back to is like, if I could market concrete, I can market your coaching business. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
And so hers was just so much fun because she had that really nerdy knowledge from before and tying it to something way more sexy, like the coaching industry, has turned into some great episodes. So that's Marketing That Works.
Oh, I love that. And the naming conventions, are you also helping them create that brand and that name?
Yes. So a lot of what we want is just clear and simple over cute. Yes. So some of their names, like, yeah, their names are fun. They're a great time. But so much of it is, can people understand what your podcast is about in 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
And really letting people know, like, you have a home here in this podcast through the name rather than waiting for them to listen to an actual episode.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I think sometimes people forget that and they come up with these names that are fun or cute, but they don't tell you immediately what it's going to be about. And then those are the ones I'm like, okay, let me listen to a couple episodes and see if I resonate with this content or not.
So much of it is, I know that we're all about building personal brands. I know that personal brands are really powerful.
Yep.
And unless you were already famous, using your name as the only identifier in your title is not going to work.
Well,
I always say include your name. So, for example, with Marketing That Works, it's Marketing That Works with Danielle Harris. Like, we include their name, but that's not the sole title because people don't know. And you're willing to give a podcast a try and still go for that one episode. But there's a lot of people who will say, why would I waste 10, 20 precious minutes of my life on something that might not be for me? So we want to just mitigate that risk right away by letting them know what they're going to get.
What I think is really fascinating too is in the world of podcasting, I feel like I meet a lot of women who come on podcasts, and they're, I know, less women, though, who are in the space that you're in, where they're helping other women learn how to put podcasts together and structure them and launch them effectively for their businesses. You're maybe the second or third woman that I know who does that. And I do that with my students at USC, because a lot of them for their capstone projects are doing podcasts. But that's, both, it's different genders. It's not just women. Sometimes, though, I think that it's saturated. But then people who are not in the space are like, no, it's not. And then I look at statistics, I'm like, yeah, actually women are not podcasting as much, but we are avid listeners. So how do you think we can continue to grow the number of women who are feeling comfortable and confident to have their own podcasts?
I think so much of that, not to get super philosophical with
it. No, please bring it on.
So much of it is we are not encouraged to use our voice in the same way.
Yeah.
And I think there's this level of exclusion and imposter syndrome that we feel just existing in the world sometimes, that we think, well, if I'm not being listened to in the boardroom, or I'm not being listened to in that conversation with a client or whatever it might be, why would someone choose to listen to me in another platform? And even folks who have been entrepreneurs for years, a little bit of that experience from corporate or from school maybe lingers. And there's this little voice of patriarchy probably saying, like, it doesn't matter, saying, hey, that, you know, it's not worth it. And then it's, how can we actively combat that voice and reinforce what you have to say is important, even if someone else has already said it, they haven't said it like you? And that can turn so cliche so quickly, but it's so true. It's so necessary to say, hey, actually, the way that you explain this is really good, is really important. Doesn't matter if a guy has already said it or another woman has already said it, you can say it also. And that constant reinforcement that our voice matters. I love the tagline. I've used it a lot on my website. Your impact deserves to be shared.
Yeah.
And we sometimes don't think that. We think, oh, like, I just impact people, or we may not even see it as impact. We may just think, oh, I help. I am the helper. And so many times that's our role as women in the world of, like, helping, helping our family, helping our clients, helping. And it's like, well, what if we talked about that help and actually got to help more people while also helping yourself?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that, I think, is something we also get hung up on, because people are afraid of being the front person or using their voice. They're afraid people won't want to hear. But to your point, you are offering a different voice. A voice that might resonate with a person listening in a different way than somebody else's voice. And I think we also have to take ourselves, it's not necessarily about us, but it's about the information that we can share. It's about the expertise or the lived experience that we have, right? So sharing that, and if people would think about it that way, I think more of us would get out of our own way and be willing to be more open.
Absolutely. And also understanding, right, what is our responsibility to tackle and what is also going to be a more systemic issue of, like, well, how can we create these spaces for women in the podcasting? Maybe it's an event. Maybe we need to create a whole event for women podcasters, because I've gone to a lot of podcasting events that are amazing, but it's just like all the panels are men, or all the featured podcast hosts are men, and kind of combating that as well. So maybe it's a sign we need to do an event.
Absolutely. I love it. And actually, when this episode airs, I will be speaking at Podcast Movement Evolutions in LA on branding for your podcast. So I'm trying to, you know, help create that change, but you and I definitely need to talk after this. And
yeah,
because there are some other things that I am like, okay, I need to get a panel together for that and pitch to be on that stage and that stage. And I think that's a great way for us to continue sharing this message and helping encourage other women to get into the space.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, you know, for the men who are listening and, you know, people of all genders, like, how can that space be created intentionally?
Yes.
Because it's, you know, 50-50 of sure, we can apply to be on more panels, but it's like, what about finding women and inviting them onto the panel and those things and both being true and both being necessary?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
So what do you see as your future over the next year or two in the podcasting space?
Definitely helping more business owners, more women business owners, find that special thing that they want to say and put it on the podcast. They will be really cool. And like just the ones that I'm already doing, I'm so proud of and so excited for them that I just want more of that. And really being able to love on the clients that I currently have while adding a couple more. So much of that includes growing my team of more people to script, more people to get the editing done, all of those things, and becoming a leader in the process. I feel like 2024 feels very much like a year of becoming, of evolving, of growth, and not just for myself, but for so many people in the industry that I'm just excited to be a small part of it.
Nice. I wanted to flag, because you are multicultural, do you work with a lot of Spanish-speaking podcasts?
No. So that's actually something really interesting. We talk a lot about podcast saturation. Most of the podcast saturation is in English. But as soon as you get into a market that's in Spanish or any other language, the field is wide open.
Wow.
So I would absolutely love to. I just haven't found the opportunity yet.
Yeah. Okay. Because I think that would be an amazing addition. And like you said, I think it's so needed in the space. What is the easiest place for people to find out more about you and the process of working with you?
Absolutely. So it's going to be isamediainc.com. So ISA Media Inc. And on there, you'll see some of the shows that I have been working on. And you'll see like different ways to contact me, whether that's LinkedIn or Instagram. But I'm always just around trying to hear if you have a podcast that you want to send me to listen to, please do. I always need recommendations.
Fantastic. And do you have a favorite quote, mantra, some words that really resonate with you right now?
Yes. So I shared one, the your impact deserves to be shared. I think that one's always with me. But in the last year, I've said a lot, thank God that didn't happen the way I wanted it to. And it's constantly reminding myself that sometimes the progress can be bigger, the plans can be bigger than we ever expected them to be. And this is not necessarily religious, right? But just sometimes we don't even see the potential in an opportunity the way that it's actually going to play out. So I had so many things that I considered a disappointment. Mm-hmm. And then now I look back and I said, wow, if that had worked out the way I initially wanted to, I wouldn't be here right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am here for that. And I do share some of the quotes on my TikTok and Instagram sometimes. And that is one I'm going to record as soon as we get off and share. So
yeah,
this is
it's easy to say. I will say it's so easy to think of in hindsight, but in the moment, crying tears.
Yes.
Just
yes.
I can't believe that didn't work out. So it's important to have space for both. Let yourself cry it out. And then a couple months later, you're going to notice that it was exactly how it was meant to be.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. This has been so fun. Isa, thank you so much for lending your expertise and your enthusiasm to Your Brand Amplified.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
First, and thank you to the audience who's watching or listening to this episode. I will be back again tomorrow with another amazing expert to share how you can make your journey in business a little better and brighter every day.
Want more? Check out AmplifyWithAnnika.com or follow me on socials at AmplifyWithAnnika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.